Genesis, first book in the Bible, Genesis 42. And I want to ask a question of you, like I always do. As you think about God and your relationship to God, what is the most valuable privilege? Now, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ and his dying for your sin, but beyond that, what is the most valuable privilege that we have with God? I want to entertain an idea with you tonight. There is something much more valuable that we have that we take for granted. And it's even beyond that, Linda. It's something very, very significant. And I want you to get a picture of this tonight. Most of us are very familiar with the Old Testament. We know the story of Jacob and then he and Esau, and then his having his 12 sons after that, Jacob and Leah and Rachel and the Bilhah and Leah. But that was all developing, and when that was developing, there was something that they could not do. There was a relationship to God that they did not have. And so I want us to look at that tonight. So we're going to start in Genesis 42, verses 1 through 4. I've titled the message, "It Wasn't Coincidence." It wasn't coincidence. God had something in plan. Genesis 42, 1 through 4, and it says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt," there was a big famine coming, "and Jacob said to his sons, 'Why do ye look one upon another?' And he said, 'Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die.' And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, through Rachel, his mother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, 'Lest peradventure mischief befall him.'" Now, sort of an interesting story to get up to this point. You have Joseph, who was his father's favorite, and parents are not supposed to have favorites. Sometimes we do. And we don't admit it to ourselves that we have a favorite one child over the other. We tell ourselves we're going to treat them equally. But we have a favorite. And you probably have had a favorite among your children, and so Joseph had a favorite, or Jacob had a favorite, and that was Joseph, his son Joseph, because he loved Rachel more than any of the other. Rachel was the wife he went to work for, but he wound up with three other wives before. Well, one, he got Leah before he got Rachel, and so Laban tricked him. And then after he and Rachel and Leah were all married, there were two wives and one husband, Leah began to have children and Rachel had none. So when Rachel finally had a child and the child was Joseph, Jacob was very, very appreciative. And he did love Joseph. He loved him more than all the other men. He had 10 sons at that point. Eventually, Rachel would have another baby, and it would be Benjamin. She would die in delivering him. And so Joseph was a favorite, and Jacob treated him like a favorite. He believed him over all the other brothers. He trusted him over all the other brothers. He gave him a coat of many colors. And because Jacob loved Joseph more, the 10 brothers who were alive at that time began to hate him. And they did hate him. Hated him for who he was, and you know, Mr. Goody Two Shoes, and all the other kinds of things that they could say about him. And so there was a time. It carries us back to the first chapter, or second chapter, third chapter of Genesis, I guess, fourth chapter, where the brothers decided, some of them wanted to kill him. And so they were having a little bit of a disagreement as to what to do with him. They saw him coming across the field. They were in the land of Dothan. They had taken the sheep out, grazing them where there was fodder for them. And they had gone several lands or countries away from where Jacob was. And so he sent Joseph to check on him and see if everything was okay. So Joseph heads out. And being obedient, I don't think he really realized how much they hated him. Because when they saw him coming, they saw his coat of many colors, they began to plot, okay, let's kill him. Well, there are times when we might consider killing our brother or sister, but that's not normal, okay? So they decided, no, some of them were for it, some of them were against it. They said, no, let's not do that. Let's throw him in a pit. There was no water in the pit. You're out in the middle of the desert. And if he dies, he dies. We won't worry about it. And so they threw him into the pit. They took his robe off and the robe of many colors that his father had specially made for him. And they killed a kid of the goats, and they dipped the coat in it so that they would have some kind of a story to tell Jacob when they got back home and Joseph wasn't with them. And then they saw a train of Ishmaelites coming across the desert, and they were on their way to Egypt, and they were going to sell things. One of the things that usually they sold also was slaves, and they thought, okay, let's make a little money off of Joseph. And so they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. 10 guys, 20 pieces of silver, that's 2 pieces apiece. That was the end of Joseph as far as they were concerned. They didn't know what would happen to him. They didn't care. And so that Joseph was carried on down to Egypt. He was sold to a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar was a very successful man, and Joseph also made him even more successful. And Joseph, when he was sold, he was 17 years old. In Genesis 37:2, it tells us, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Ziplah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. They were not a bunch of good boys, good old boys maybe, but anyway, they weren't good men. The fact that they would consider selling their brother or even killing him. So now we have a place to start. We also have an age for Joseph, 17 years old. That's not very old. You think back to when you were 17. And what your hopes were, what your life was, and what you thought your life might be. You were probably in high school, and you know, either working towards going to college or being something. So we have a place to start, and everything that happened to Joseph, we know now, was part of God's plan. Without Joseph, the nation of Israel probably would not exist. Because you see, during the famine, many of the nations just simply died out. And God used him. God had him appointed for a particular time, a particular job, just like he has every one of us, appointed for a particular time and a particular job. Now is the time. Now is when he has something for you to do. You can't count on tomorrow. It may not come. You can't accomplish anything in yesterday. So it has to be today. It has to be now. And so we need to think about these things. So God put Joseph in Potiphar's house. And one of the neat things that for me was that we'll get into more scripture in just a few minutes, but as we see Joseph working in Potiphar's house, her having a particular lust after him, and the husband being away a lot of the time, and Joseph being responsible for all the different things, and her continually going after him to satisfy that lust. And where did Joseph get his righteousness and his sense of right and wrong? The law did not exist yet. That came from Moses 400 years later. And so Joseph had an innate knowledge of God. And we don't see any sign of his complaining or self-pity. Oh, woe is me. I'm a 17-year-old. My life is over. We don't see anything like that. We see Joseph acting righteously, acting morally. And for, you know, they say that nothing, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, and they're right, usually. That Joseph did what was right, and for that, he was put in prison. There were a lot of alternatives. He was a slave. He could have been put to death. But God moved him from Potiphar's house to prison, and the head of the prison saw how God prospered Joseph. It showed in his life. I think that may be what Jacob saw in Joseph, was that God, he was a special man for God. And every once in a while, you'll meet a special man that God has his hand upon. We've got one, his last name is Tice, out in Las Vegas. And if you ever get out that way, you've got to go to Southern Hills Baptist Church on Sunday morning, just to see how God uses a young man. But God used Joseph, and God had given Joseph some gifts. And one of the gifts that God had given Joseph was the gift to interpret dreams. Now, I want to qualify that statement, okay? I know that in Scripture, God has used dreams on many occasions to communicate with people. His people, people he wanted to be his people, to convey to them things he wanted them to do. And he gave Joseph a gift. The gift was to interpret dreams. And so Joseph did that. There was a baker that the Pharaoh had put in prison, and there was a butler that the Pharaoh had put in prison, and they both had dreams the same night, and it sounded very similar, and Joseph interpreted the one that he would be restored his position as butler. He interpreted the other that he would be put to death, and that's exactly what happened 2 years later. So now Joseph was 17. He was with Potiphar. We don't know exactly how many years, but we do know, well, and then he was in jail. That's quite a life, isn't it? Boy, he was really getting to see a lot of the world. Should have joined the Navy, okay? But anyway, so he was in jail, in prison, at least 2 years we know of, because he interpreted the dream for the baker and the butler 2 years before this next event. And then Pharaoh had a dream, and he was really disturbed by it. I know all of you, if at one time or another you have a dream, you wake up and you are either anxious, you are scared, we call them nightmares, and you just react to it, and then when you finally figure out that it was a dream, you are so glad that it's not happening. But it does affect maybe your attitude in the days to come. So Pharaoh had a dream, and it affected his attitude. He was very disturbed by this dream. He saw, first of all, seven cows come up out of the Nile, and they were big, fat, you know, well-fed cattle, and they were grazing. And then these skin and bone things that were supposed to be cattle came up out of the Nile, and they ate up the other cows. They were gone. And then he saw seven ears of corn on one stalk, and then seven other ears that were blasted and all shriveled up. And those seven ears got rid of, devoured the seven full and plump ears. Isn't it strange that Pharaoh knew that dream was important? And it was. Was it a coincidence? No. No, it was part of God's plan. And as we all sit here tonight, God has a plan for you. He does have a plan for you. You may not understand it right now. You may not know it right now. And we haven't gotten to the good part yet. We're getting there. So Pharaoh has a dream. It's 2 years after the baker has been released from prison, and the butler released from prison, and the baker executed. And the baker tells Pharaoh, I am at fault. I forgot to mention to you this young man that I met in prison. In Genesis 41, 46, it says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Joseph had been there in Egypt now for 13 years. He had never had any freedom. He was always a slave, either to Potiphar or to the jailer. And now he is going to interpret a dream. He's going to use the gift that God gave him to interpret a dream for Pharaoh that will establish the welfare of his family. Now, at this point, we've been looking at Joseph. Let's think about the brothers and the father. It started with a lie. And the lie was that Joseph was not any longer, that he no longer lived. That he was no more, that he'd been killed by some kind of a rogue animal. Genesis 37, 31 through 35. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, thus have we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. And Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. What started out to be a lie and deceit and deception deceived the father to the point where he thought Joseph was dead. And that was okay with the brothers. They couldn't comfort him. Can you imagine trying to comfort a man over something that you did? Think about it. They were the ones who caused his distress. And their job was to try and comfort him. Now, what do you say over something like that? Oh, well, Dad, don't worry about it. It was probably quick. Probably didn't hurt much. But that was a job that they had to do. And the 10 brothers knew. The last brother didn't. Benjamin didn't know. But those 10 brothers knew what they had done. Those 10 brothers knew that they had each taken 2 pieces of silver for him when they sold him. Those 10 brothers, we mentioned just a few minutes ago that 13 years had gone by while Joseph was a slave there in Egypt. And here are those brothers. For 13 years, they have had a dark secret. They couldn't tell anybody. And they had to live with that. And because of the decisions that they had made, there was no going back. Now we come to the part that came as a surprise to me as the Holy Spirit showed it to me. They had a big problem, folks. A problem that you and I have never had. You see, at this point, they had done evil. They had done wrong. And there was no way to undo it. And there was no one to confess to. And that's the part that you and I have a privilege. Whenever we sin, we confess it to God. It's just that simple. And He forgives us if we're willing to repent and turn away. But you see, they had no one that they could confess to. They couldn't confess to God, and He knew what they had done. They couldn't confess to God because they had sin between them and God. They couldn't confess to their father because he would probably have put them to death. Remember, the law hadn't been established yet. They had no way to get rid of this burden of what they had done to their brother. No way. God has given us such a great privilege to be able to confess our sin. Every one of us, if we know Jesus Christ tonight, and I believe that looking around, I think everybody here may, then we confess to God our sin. We confess to Jesus our sin, and He has covered our sin. He's taken care of it. But these men had no way to do that. Be awful? Have you ever committed a sin or done something to someone, and maybe you didn't think of it as a sin, but it wasn't real beneficial for the other person, and then decide that you want to go back and make things right? And every time, before you were saved, and sometimes we do the same since we've been saved. Let's say we do something, we commit a sin. And let's say we've got big sins, medium sins, you know, little sins. But let's say it's just a moderate size sin. And we go out, and as we go out the door, we stub our toe on the sill, and we really hurt our toe. And what's the first thing that comes to our mind? Well, I deserved that. I did this. Now, that's not true, by the way, folks. But that's the way you and I were thinking at one time in our lives before we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we would do something bad, we expected something bad to happen to us. Now, after Jesus, it was different. Because Jesus took away all of our sin. He took away all of the penalties and the burdens for it. And we can go to Him. If we confess our sin, He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here were 10 men married, going on with life with this burden on their heart of what they had done to their brother. I would imagine after these 13 years, they probably figured Joseph was no more. Because when they would tell people about him, that was the phrase they used, Joseph is no more. He's dead. That's what the father was believing because of their deception. And so there was no hope. We have hope. We have hope because we can confess our sins. This being able to confess is such a privilege between us and God. It's not an accident. It's not something that any of us have earned. It's something that God has granted to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Even after the law was established some 400 years later by Moses, given to him there on Mount Sinai, God had made a way to deal with sin. There was no way to deal with sin at this point other than keep your mouth shut and carry it around in your heart. They couldn't even talk to God because of their sin. If they confessed to their father, like I said, he might have killed them. He definitely would have disowned them. And so here they were, raising families, going on with life, with this ugly, dark secret, and no way to deal with it. And you know, I titled the message, It Was Not a Coincidence. None of this stuff that happened to Joseph was a coincidence. It was all orchestrated by God. And He is doing the same thing with your life. He is orchestrating it, whether you see it or not. He's still there. You can deny Him all you want. You can deny His will all you want, but His will is still going to be His will. And he still has a job for you. If He didn't have a job for you, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. We'd be having a memorial service for you. Because when God is done with us, He takes us home. You've worked hard. Now come on home. Get your rest. And that's the way it works. I'm sure that this sin was ever before their thoughts. They had been carried. Now, by the time that they meet Joseph, and by the time we get to the opening verses that were the opening verses this morning, Genesis 42, 1 through 4, Joseph has been away for 20 years. The 13 years that before he stood in front of Pharaoh. And after that, there was 7 years of plenty where everything was fine in Israel. Everything was fine with his brothers, with his father. And that made it 20 years before they stood before Joseph, because they went to get food for their families and their father. Now, one of the reasons that the brothers had hated Joseph so much was because he had told about a dream he had where his brothers came and bowed down to him. Hasn't God got a sense of humor? The very thing that they were angry with him about was the very thing that happened. They went to Egypt and they came in on their hands and knees before this representative of Pharaoh, this man who was the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, and it turns out to be their brother. Now there's some things I don't understand to this, and I'll share those things with you tonight as we get into them. But the main thing that I want you to realize, and the reason I want you to realize is I'd like to have you go, thank God that you can confess to Him. What a privilege. What a fantastic privilege that we can go to God and confess, and then He takes care of it for us if we follow His plan. So, what the truth of what they had done haunted them. Haunted them for 20 years. I mean, it did haunt them. It haunted them for 20 years. And they thought that all the bad things that were happening to them were because of what they had done to their brother. I want you to see. Turn over to Genesis 42, beginning at verse 21. Joseph had accused, the brothers came before him. Now, I don't know why Joseph did some of the things he did. I don't think there was a mean streak, and we'll talk about it before we get finished. But I don't know why Joseph just didn't expose himself to his brothers and introduce, you know, hey, guys, it's me. He didn't do that. I don't know if he was playing cat and mouse with them. I don't know if he was trying to decide, should he trust them? Could he trust them? If he showed himself, excuse me, if he showed himself, would they kill him? Like they had been talking about 20 years before. And so I don't know that Joseph really had his mind made up, but look at Genesis 42, verse 21, 22. Now Joseph accused them of being spies. And how do they react to that? Verse 21. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. So after 20 years, it finally came to their blaming each other. Wasn't my fault. I told you shouldn't do this. They had resorted to blaming themselves, each other. Isn't it interesting that God works things out the way that they need to be, and appeared that they were going to be having to do even more sinful things, even though they had not a part in the situation. For in Genesis 42, 35, and 36, it says, and it came to pass as they emptied their sacks, they bought enough food to last them a little while, and they headed back to where their father Jacob, Israel, was. And when they got there, they all found their money in their sacks because Joseph had it put back in the necks of their sacks. So that it looked like they had stolen the grain. Now, how could they ever go back, knowing that this was the situation? And again, that conscience thing in them just kept working, making the pit that they were living in deeper and deeper and deeper. And the people of the world do not understand when we try and tell them about Jesus Christ and how he forgives, how we can confess to him, how we can know him. They don't understand that. And they just keep digging, making the pit deeper and deeper and deeper. And how miserable life must be without Jesus. I'm so glad somebody told me about Jesus. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit convicted me that what they had told me was true. And so as we sit here tonight, we know that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. And that he is alive tonight, that he is with God making intercession for us. And by his shed blood, we can have total forgiveness of our sins. So they resorted to blaming one another. And they got home and they found the money in their sacks. And they didn't know what they were going to do. So we see the brothers' lives becoming more and more burdensome because there was no relief. We have relief. We do. We meet here because we have relief. We meet here because here in this place or one like it, we found an eternal relief. So in Genesis 43:11 through 14, it tells us, and their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, now do this. See, they were told that if they came back to get any more food, they needed to bring Benjamin with them. Joseph was trying to get his whole family. That was his favorite brother. That was the brother, that was his true biological brother. And so he wanted to have some contact with him. Why he went about this the way he went about, I really don't fully understand. But anyway, their father, Jacob, finally agreed to send Benjamin so they could go back and get some more food. And their father Israel said, in Genesis 43:11 through 14, it says, and their father Israel said to them, it must be so now. Do this, take the best fruits of the land of your in your vessels and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he might send away your other brother Benjamin, and Benjamin, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So, the brothers went back to Egypt for more corn. More food. That was the only place there was food. And they get down there, and Joseph is busy taking care of Egyptian business. And the servants of Joseph have been directed to take the brothers to his home and to return the brother that had stayed there. And so they were at Joseph's house when Joseph came in from work. We pick it up again in Genesis 43:26 through 34. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand unto the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant our father is in good health, he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. This was the one thing that had triggered them into either killing him or selling him as a slave. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep. And he entered into a chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves, for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews. For that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And all the men marveled at one another. He had them all set down in order as they had been born. And they sort of marveled at that. And then when he sent the food out, he sent five times the food to his brother Benjamin. Now again, I keep thinking in my mind, why didn't he identify himself to them? Why didn't he just end it right here? And what was he trying to accomplish? Well, I don't know that that was it, Sandra. I think that there were some other things going on in Joseph's mind, and he did not really know quite what to do. The Holy Spirit existed then. He has always existed. The Holy Spirit was there, and he was involved in this in some way, and we don't know specifically. But how should Joseph have interacted with his brothers? I don't know. I don't have an answer. The Bible doesn't give us one. But it does. Then we jump ahead a few more chapters to chapter 45. And in the next 8 verses, we learn something. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him. Man, you think of the shock. 20 years of conscience and guilt, and suddenly it can all be vanished away. And Joseph said to his brethren, "I am Joseph." Okay, verse 4. And Joseph said to his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold unto Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years in which there shall be neither be earing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." We couldn't end tonight without getting Joseph and his brothers back together, because that would be a very special thing. I would imagine those brothers were scared to death. They were probably expecting, you know, a massacre. And yet, Joseph's response was so mature. He knew why God had sent him there. Now, how did he know that? Because I know there was no Gideon Bibles in the prison. In fact, the Bible hadn't been written yet. And yet Joseph had a knowledge of God. And he knew right from wrong. And I don't know why he reacted the way he did. It was 2 years. The brothers came down for food when they found out that there was corn in Egypt. They came down for food. It was 2 years. We just read it. It was 2 years that they were back and forth getting food. And he never identified himself. I wonder if Joseph was trying to figure out whether he loved his brothers or not. If family was all that it should be. I know in the Middle East, family is big time. Much more than here in the U.S. The family heritage is so important. Yet he waited 2 years, and then he finally identified himself to his brothers, and after that they went back and got Jacob and brought him back to Egypt. And for 400 years, they remained in Egypt, and once again, they became slaves. Aren't you glad that you confess your sin? Aren't you glad? My, what a privilege to be able to say, I'm sorry, God. Knowing that He hears us, knowing that He's going to answer. Interesting story, isn't it? Interesting fact. They had no place to confess. My, how miserable they must have been. Father, thank you for showing us in your word the improvements you've made in your relationship with us. Thank you for the fact that we can talk to thee, we can approach thee, not because of anything we've done, but because of what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did. Father, help us never to forget that. Help us to remember that and share that with everyone we come in contact with. And Father, may your will be done in each of our hearts and in each of our lives. And Father, may we glorify and honor you with everything we do. And we will praise you because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.